on this episode of Edge of the Web.
In my opinion, if this goes through and everybody that's a partner is forced to implement 70% of what the ad platform that makes the money is doing, then the partner program is like a scarlet letter. Who would want that? You're hiring an agency that is going to put down 70% of the recommendations by a company that makes all the money.
Your weekly digital marketing trends with industry trend-setting guests. You're listening and watching Edge of the Web. Winners of Best Podcast from the Content Marketing Institute for 2017. Hear and see more at edgeofthewebradio.com. Now, here's your host, Aaron Sparks.
This is Edge of the Web, episode 358. I'm your host, Aaron Sparks. Thanks for joining us. Every week, we bring you amazing guests from around the planet to talk about digital marketing trends, digital marketing news, and try to unpack a specific or several different topics around a key concept inside digital marketing. We go into SEO, we go into social media, we go into search engine marketing, video optimization, conversion optimization, app development, so many things we've covered over this. It is 9 years. 9 years we've been doing this show. And we love every minute of it. We're constantly cranking out some great new content and learning as we go. That's one of the key reasons why we do this show, is to keep our powder dry and be able to utilize some of the techniques and concepts for our own clients. So check over all the information over at edgeofthewebradio.com, all the show notes, all the videos, podcasts, and much more. So if you're actually new to the show, we'll give you the ropes here real quick. Every Monday, we go live as much as we can, 3 p.m. on YouTube. And basically, we're doing an internet television show. And from that, we'll actually move our audio from the show straight into all the podcast aggregators. That'd be iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Player FM, Podbean, Spotify, all the platforms. And if we're not there, let us know, and we'll certainly get our feed there. So we'll take that and then move it into a number of different videos over the course of the week, and also take all of our show notes and transcripts and be able to kick them into blog content, articles that feature our guest and key points that we cover during the episode. So if you want to check all that out, go over to edgeofthewebradio.com. The show sponsor, title sponsor of the show, is Site Strategics, our parent company. And they're the pioneers in the agile digital marketing methodology. And that's basically results-based marketing. We're watching the dials, making changes based on, you know, the theory of, hey, you know what, if we're not getting the results over here, why don't we go over here and try something new and improved? So it makes sense, right? But a lot of agencies out there don't do it. They kind of set it and forget it, and that's not us. So if you're interested in what we do, search for agile marketing methodology. You're going to see us right there at the top of the list, but you can also go over to Site Strategics, S-I-T-E, strategics.com, and give us a shout. We'd love to talk to you about Maybe something that we can do for you. We'll have a free hour consultation to be able to unpack some key tips and techniques for your digital marketing success. You can call us over at 877-736-4932. All right, there's the introduction. In the booth, my evil cohort in podcasting crime is Jacob Mann. How you doing, sir?
I get the evilness because of the beard.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're kind of bypassing me, so now you have something. I'm just going to start slinging it until you shave. You realize that?
Well, I'll see what you can come up with.
Yeah, now you got to remember, back in the day when Doug Carr was on the show, literally I had an insult for him each and every episode. It got to be a game. It really did.
About his beard or
just him in general.
Oh, okay. I don't know if I like this game at all.
Oh, it's going to be fun. We'll get to play. Oh, my gosh. You got to go back in time and see some of those shows, because literally I had thesauruses and wikis and all the stuff of, okay, what kind of joke can I pull off now? I mean, that was half the battle of the show. Figuring out how I could actually slam Doug Carr.
Man.
And he just let it roll off his back. And he was just he's a jolly old fellow, you know?
Didn't let it bother him.
I gotta grab a hold of him and see if we can get him on the show in the near future. It'd be great to reminisce. All right. To let you know who's actually coming on the show here in moments here, we're actually going to be having the Martin Split of Google. He's the outreach liaison for web developers. Honored to be able to have Martin Split coming up. Then on the second week of June, which is next week, we've got Jessica Bowman. Third week of June, we've got Marco Bonomo. And the final week of June, we've got the My Cool King, Michael King, who's going to be on the show talking SEO, all things SEO, Always excited to be able to have him on. If you know of anybody that you'd like us to interview, drop us a line at info@edgeofthewebradio.com. That's edgeofthewebradio.com. Be sure to set your reminders on YouTube to get notified. We go live each and every Monday as much as we can at 3 p.m., like previously stated. All right, so that's the show, housekeeping and notes. Let's pivot around to who we've got on the line. We've got Greg Finn, our digital marketing expert here. Let's dive into our show guest.
Now it's time for Edge of the Web featured interview with Greg Finn, partner and digital marketer at Cypress North.
I almost forgot the deep voice intro guy. How can I not give that to Greg? I mean, he needs that.
I was scrambling over here. Oh, he's going to miss it. Hang on.
He didn't know where I was going. So there's our deep voice guy introducing Greg. Greg, you can use that for a ringtone, anything that you want after the show. Just let me know.
Beautiful.
So
I need that. My voice is on the higher octaves there, so I thoroughly enjoyed that.
Oh, well, we could do something in post. We could probably adjust that, right? No. Jake's throwing his hands up. Greg, it's so nice to be able to have you on the show. Thanks for joining us today.
It is an absolute pleasure to be here. Thanks, Aaron.
And more than welcome. So we've kind of circled each other over a couple of years here. We wanted to get you on the show. We wanted to get you on the show earlier whenever the Google Partner Program announcements were really catching fire, and you were way there in the thick of things. And obviously, there was a vacation. I would never begrudge you the opportunity to be able to take a vacation. So we circled back around and wanted to talk to you about it. But let's introduce you to our listeners here. Greg's a partner at Cypress North, a performance digital marketing and development firm in Buffalo, New York. He's been managing digital marketing campaigns for more than a dozen years and a certified Google AdWords partner. He's also the correspondent at Search Engine Land and the sister site Marketing Land, and has been a speaker at some of the largest search engine conferences ever, especially SMX, Social Pro, and PubCon. He also leads an incredible team over at Cypress North, helping to hit goals, drive revenue, and keep his clients satisfied. So there's the official bio. It's fantastic that you contribute so much into SEL and marketing land content. What does your job entail on a regular basis?
Well, so we at Cypress North, we do very much like you talked about, results-based marketing. And it sounds so weird when you'd say, oh, we're doing marketing and no results. But we do a lot of B2B advertising, a lot of inbound lead nurturing. And basically, like you had mentioned, anything to do with results. And we do, and I love Google Ads. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why some of the hubbub had started up.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't want to gloss over the fact that you also have a podcast out there. That's Marketing O'Clock, that has, back in February, joined Search Engine Journal and jumped in there. And you guys are killing it right now with their podcast. So congratulations on that.
Thanks. It's like this podcast, but not professional and not well done. And I was talking to Jacob before, and I called him a mad scientist. He was zooming in with the videos and zooming on one camera to the other camera.
Yep.
It's like, just imagine the opposite of this. And that's what it is.
Perfect. That's not true. But thank you. Exactly. See, you're owning that mad space that we're starting to attribute to Jacob. He's going for the mic. Hold on, guys.
It's the unkept hair.
You think that's all?
It's as long as my hair has ever been in my life, and it's just, it's nuts.
You almost have a top knot going.
I'm waiting for the man bun.
Exactly. Nope. Hey, so we just move on from there. I can't dive in. But thank you very much for a compliment. I appreciate it. And we love seeing really good podcasts in the digital marketing space take hold and educate regularly, and your podcast certainly does that. So, Greg, give us your history of how you got to be in digital marketing first and then in paid ads specifically. Can you kind of unpack your chronology there?
Yeah. So just how did I get into the space in general was basically I was working as a sales assistant within the sales department at an internet marketing and development company.
Okay.
And I basically started to take over everybody's jobs, just do them, learn them so I could sell more, you know, help people sell more, and then just started doing all the work and, you know, kind of continued that process, went in-house and started, you know, managing spends of $4 or $5 million a year in the financial space with AdWords at the time. Hmm. Went off into 1020 before Blue Glass and all that happened and did a lot of social media and advertising, and then started Cypress North. It's actually 10 years ago last week is when we started the company.
Oh, congratulations. That's a heck of a thing too.
Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. So you got into the digital space, but not everybody falls into the paid ad space. And there's some trepidation there. But if you're good at it, if you're really good at it, you can do some incredible work for your clients. So tell me how you focused in on the paid space with such excellence.
Yeah, I mean, it's really from a love of trying to match up the need that a user has mm-hmm. and why they're putting that query into Google or Bing or any other search engine and matching them up with something that fills that need. Got and it. That's one of the beautiful things with anything to do with paid ads is historically, and it's getting a little bit fuzzier and we'll probably get there, mm-hmm. You could get specific people searching for specific terms and deliver them to something that will help them help your client mm-hmm. and help them make a purchase.
It's really, you're playing matchmaker, right?
Exactly.
You're really getting those users where they need you the most to be able to connect to some fantastic clients. And, you know, the tool sets that we have, right, have very well matured so much over the last 10 years. Just think about what Google Ads, the Ads Manager, looked like 10 years ago, Greg. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah.
There's so much that has been able to be improved. And now we have audiences. We've got so much understanding of performance. And we also have lookalike audiences. And there's a lot to be able to pull from the entire network to be able to deliver that ad content correctly. So with that, the ad platform comes with some requirements. I shouldn't say requirements. You need to be able to be trained on it. You need to be able to demonstrate regular proficiency and success. And that should be something that is internal of every agency. There needs to be that the ability to execute quite well and also be able to prove results to your clients, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think Google really did a fantastic job. Back, I mean, I was at a party back in 2007, and mm-hmm. there was a lavish, extravagant party where Google was trying to take anybody that was a partner and really help them and reward them for being that liaison of their client, being almost a steward mm-hmm. of their ad budget and spending that effectively. And, you know, that's one of the things that Google really excelled at, in my opinion, and why they beat out Yahoo and Overture. I'm still old enough to remember Overture, that horrific interface. And so Google really came up and was a partner there. And they had, again, one of the most recent things that we were talking about was they came up and created a partners, right? So partners mm-hmm. program.
Right.
And with that program, they would help to educate and inform any companies and the employees of the companies and help them do better for their clients, which was a really noble thought back at the time and a noble idea. And, you know, companies in turn could then, you know, win. They could get some coupons to give to their clients. Mm-hmm. They could win different items from a Google bike. I forget what's on there now. I forget what the highest price thing is. But you could get, you know, life-size Connect 4, Google Partners things.
Right.
I mean, my shirt right here is from Google Partners.
There you go. Yep.
You can get a ton of stuff. And, you know, it really was a great idea to do that. And it also helped to benefit those good advertisers. Mm-hmm. You know, if you were a Google partner, you could be a partner or premier partner, you were given a badge that you could put onto your site. Mm-hmm. And back in the day, I think they discontinued it about 2013, but they had a list of all of the partners.
Right.
So if you're brand new to Google Ads, you're just starting off advertising, you could hop in, go to the directory, look near you, and find a company, which was great. Because that's what they should be doing is matching up, you know, somebody in need with somebody that went through the rigorous training that they had.
Right. And they've got a number of certifications and they had a number of really good support systems to, like you said, educate yourself and also continue to improve the relationship with Google as well. By having that partnership, you also have an inroad to actually talk to them from a support standpoint. And you regularly have an account rep that you could go to and ask questions about, hey, I'm seeing something weird here. Can you have a look at it? Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. And you could have an account rep and they'd be assigned to you and you could hop on at all times and talk to them. And they were with you, you know, all the way.
Right.
So then what happened is they said, well, this might not be the best idea. Some reps might be better than other reps. Mm-hmm. Some reps might be in the pocket. They didn't say that, but, you know, like some reps might try harder for other folks.
Right.
So they started rotating the reps on a quarterly basis.
Right,
but
exactly.
That was one of the main things is your partner, you get a rep and you have somebody that you can talk to.
Right. And Google has been notorious that they weren't as easy to get on the horn to ask questions. And, you know, as in recent years, the local Google My Business space, they've been very receptive to be able to have a good number of reps there. But ads were always a little bit further away. And they've tried their best to actually have that type of relationship with you. So they had they have a framework to make sure that your skill sets are beyond reproach. And this is something that clients would be educated to actually see, okay, are they Google partners? If they're not, right, then why aren't they actually adopting that platform? Because it does show a level of credibility, or at least that's what it used to be, right?
Right. And whether somebody knows it or not, I mean, most clients aren't as educated as you or I or any of the people listening right now, you know? And if you see that badge that says you're a Google partner, mm-hmm. that carries weight whether it should or it shouldn't. Right. Because it's got that name, it's got that Google tagged right on there. And, you know, early in the program, I think that the intent was there that they wanted to make sure that people liked using Google Ads. They wanted to take that market share.
Right.
And as they kind of kept on beating, you know, Bing and Microsoft Advertising, we've seen that change a little bit where, you know, the emails you get now and the points that you're awarded mm-hmm. are on based off of things like your client upsell percentage right. and your automated bidding percentage based off of your account and how much smart creative you've implemented. And, you know, Aaron, what that doesn't say is anything that you talked about with results, you know, that's not results marketing.
Oh, it's results, but it's inside the results of Google Ads because where it all started to come from was whenever they were giving you some observations, some overviews, some recommendations inside the platform itself, right? And that, hey, over here, that if you adopt this particular set of matches, then your optimization score is going to go up. So it looked innocent enough that the software was analyzing your performance, your measurements, and behavior, and it gave some additional helpful advice, right? So that's where it started, innocently enough. But then we're starting to get more news about clients being contacted,
mm-hmm.
going Absolutely. Around you as an agency. And if they were just so happened to be on the account, which all clients should actually be on the AdWords account, all of a sudden they're having communication directly with the client. And it was armed with, hey, these optimization results aren't being utilized, right? Boy, doesn't that put a particular wedge between you and your client?
Yes, it really does. And there's even a more inherent issue from what I've seen, where many of those Google reps that you speak to and that go talk to the client,
yep.
they're not paid based off of how well they did or mm-hmm. any of those results specifically. They're paid off of how many new programs that they're pushing.
Right.
That's what one rep has told me specifically. So they're not paid based off helping you. They're paid off of how many new programs they got folks into. And so then that kind of moved to say, well, what if we don't need all these reps as much? Can we just make these recommendations, Aaron, right, like right. you're talking about?
Right.
And so now we've got these recommendations in your account and you can see that you're hitting a certain score. And when the recommendations first came out, they were pretty milquetoast, I'd say. They weren't very helpful. They wouldn't really do too much. I think that they've gotten much more in depth of the recommendations, mm-hmm. but you still will see many times something like increase your budget. And that's a recommendation that you'll see in there. Mm-hmm. And it will give a certain percentage to make up your overall recommendation score. And it wasn't that big of a deal when you could take that recommendation that was in there and you could dismiss it.
Right.
And when you dismissed it, it would just go away, right? So you didn't get penalized for that. And it was taken completely off of your recommendation score.
Sure.
Which makes sense because, you know, we'd had some clients where they look at that and say, well, why aren't we doing target impression share bidding? Because
mm-hmm.
that would be horrific to your account. And so you could get those and remove those. And Andrea Cruz, I don't know if you've had her on, she's mm-hmm. phenomenal, but she had brought that to light. Mm-hmm. So that was good. And we could have these recommendation scores and they didn't interfere with the work of a partner. You know, like I said before, partner right. is a steward of your client's money. That's what I do. I go through, somebody says we need to get results and I need to get the best possible results. I may take some of the recommendations and I may not take some of the recommendations. There was a fantastic article over on Search Engine Journal that was called Do You Want a 100% Recommendation Score? And I forget the name of the woman that made this article, but she went through and talked about all the different recommendations that Google had given a client that was in a pet, I believe it was crematorium for pets or whatever, however you cremate pets.
Oh my gosh, there's a niche market right there.
Yes. And so Google's recommendation was to use price extensions. And it's very hard for an algorithm to understand that just because there's a price associated with it, that that's not tasteful marketing. Right. And that's probably not going to work well. And I know I probably don't want to put pricing around the cost of cremating a dog and a cat. I mean, that's horrific. So, you know, there are a lot of recommendations that can be good, but there's also a lot that really fall by the wayside or actually will be bad for you. And, you know, if I have a client that has $10,000 budget a month and Google tells me I should raise the budget to $15,000, well, I can't do that. They don't have the budget.
Exactly. And so how in the world could they actually penalize you for not raising the budget? And that's, sorry, I didn't mean to jump the shark there. That's where you're going with this, is that it's not a dismissible thing. It's actually a penalty that's working against you on the optimization score, right?
Right. Well, you know, up until this recent change here, you weren't really penalized. People would just see the score and you could say, you know, this score happened. And now, and the client would have to like live with that. You'd see it, but there wasn't any major initiatives that would come from that. It's just your score wasn't great.
Right.
And so back in February, at the end, on the 28th of February, Google came out and said, well, we're going to change the partners program. It's going to have some new rules and have some new regulations for anybody that's in the partners program. And the changes didn't seem that bad if you were just kind of new to this, really. And the first thing was that in order to stay in the partners program, your 90-day spend that you have to be managing, it jumped. So it went from $10,000 to $20,000, which I think makes sense. You know, if you're a partner, you should be at that place where you're managing, you know, not nothing, right? So that makes sense. Additionally, they cut off the length that you had to be in the program before. So you could have an account, I think before it was maybe a year, I'll have to look that up, but they took that away and said, anybody, anywhere can now be a partner. So you don't have to have that experience, which again, I think is probably not great. The third thing that they said is that 50% of users on the account need to be certified. And they launched that in a pretty poor way. They launched it to send it to your clients, to the billing accounts, to everything. And they've clarified that a bit. And I do think that that makes sense. Saying that somebody that's working on an account should at a bare minimum go through and be certified, that's a no-brainer.
And that was the MCC. That wasn't your client who was linked to that. It was the MCC's domain and anybody that was actually working at that top-level agency, correct?
Yes and no. They kind of made an error and they sent it to like everybody that had access and said, well, look, you only have 8 out of 1,000 people that, you know, are at this domain. So, but they fixed that. They fixed that. And so then the last bit of stipulations that went in a new program is really where I took the most umbrage with. It was these optimization score evaluations. So, and like I mentioned before, you could go and look at these recommendations, which I love. Anybody trying to be helpful, I'm all for it. But they said that you have to go through and you have to meet performance requirements, and no longer could you take the recommendation they gave you and remove it. So that was the biggest issue. They said, we evaluate the optimization score without dismissed recommendations for the company performance requirement. So what Google is saying is all these different requirements, plus you have to hit a certain level of what we tell you to do for your client if you want to be this partner. And that's where I see just a major conflict of interest, right? Like this company that is making money off of me spending my client's hard-earned money is telling me how I have to spend it. And that there's just an inherent conflict there.
No, that's a big step. And that's a huge overreach for any type of platform to tell the agency on the record of how to spend their clients' money. That's getting in, not only in between the client and the agency, but it's also, just like you were referencing, it very well could be contextually wrong in so many instances, and they have no way of knowing the client's needs or wants or desires for how that ad campaign performs. So they used a tool set that doesn't have a level of education about the client to actually basically penalize the agency, penalize the client, and we've got no retort. There's no way. You know, the benefits, we talked about the benefits of the program, but all of a sudden you're now in a space where Sam, we actually interviewed Sam Reckowitz over at SMX West. He actually was talking about this as well, and he said Milton Friedman would be proud. This is corporate profiteering, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to see it not that route. Mm-hmm. With all this said, I just want to make the statement that there are some good recommendations.
Absolutely.
And I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Absolutely.
But the problem to me is that when somebody hires me or my company on, I am beholden to getting them the results. So if I am forced to implement a recommendation in order to hit a specific threshold to stay a partner, mm-hmm. Google isn't going to be the one on the line for that. It's going to be me and my company. I'm the one that made that change.
Right.
And so that's where I think there's been this dynamic, this big shift of saying, hey, we're Google Partners Program. We're here to help and support and make your lives easier, to going to say, well, you have to do these many things for your clients. And if not, you are no longer a partner.
And that comes, but with that removal of a partnership comes the potential optics of towards a client that, oh, wow, you just got dismissed out of the partner program. You're no longer, maybe I should find somebody else to actually manage my campaign. I mean, that's the polarity there. That's the problem, is that the partnership has a particular clout to it. And if you're not going to obey what they're asking you to do from an optimization standpoint, you're out of the club. And that has a lot of branding effects to you and your agency, right?
Right. And I think, you know, that's how it should, that's how people look at it now, whether that's the way it should be or not. You know, if you're talking about a partner a company before that had access to dedicated Google reps, mm-hmm. and could get you to the head of the line, that's a little bit different than the way it is today. And I don't think most people understand that Google, quite frankly, there's a very, very select few partners that Google cares about. Mm-hmm. And everybody else, I mean, they don't really care. Mm-hmm. They don't care about you anymore. They took away more reps. So I believe that happened earlier in this year, mm-hmm. Right about the start of COVID. And they said, we're removing the dedicated reps and reps for a lot of the small to mid-sized partner companies. And then they went on to say, it's not because of COVID. It's just because we don't like you. And so I added, don't like you. But I mean, that's why, right? They don't see the monetary benefit there. If they can force recommendations down your throat and make you implement recommendations to stay in the program,
right,
why, you know, their game has been won. And so then they went on to clarify it a little bit more. And so this all was supposed to roll out here by the end of June.
Yep.
And so they said, instead of hitting your optimization score requirements, they went on to characterize it and give a specific number, saying, well, you have to hit a 70% recommendation accepted score. And so people said, well, this is fine, right? You're like that dog on fire and you're just like, this is fine, burning away. But I mean, the problem is the person setting the score, the company that's making that score,
right,
is the company that's going to be profiting off of the clients and us as the partners.
Exactly.
And so that's just...
So part of that score could very well be the acceptance of those budget increase recommendations. And that is just a conflict of interest. There's no other way to put it.
Right. And that's why I made a big scene. And Aaron, you were saying that people are going to look at this and say, well, oh, the partner program has a lot of clout. Mm-hmm. And my thought was, you know, the writing is a little bit on the wall here, right? We're going to see Google is probably going to get more new programs that they want people to test out. They're
right.
going to have increasing percentages in all likelihood. That's what I would do if I had some specific OKRs to hit with the Google Ads team in a mm-hmm. quarter. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, if this goes through and everybody that's a partner is forced to implement 70% of what the ad platform that makes the money is doing, then the partner program is like a scarlet letter. I wouldn't want that. Who would want that? You're hiring an agency that is going to put down 70% of the recommendations by a company mm-hmm. that makes all the money. That's insane to me.
You're looking like a shill at that point in time. You're looking like, and with to the client's perspective, they have no idea if you're getting any type of remuneration from Google, Google platform. It could very well look like you're operating on Google's interest as opposed to the client's.
Yeah, and I mean, I get fired up just talking about it because it's so insane to me. And I can tell you, I absolutely love Google Ads.
Absolutely.
And I wish nothing more than somebody to come in and look at this as a long-term play mm-hmm. and say, we've got Facebook coming up. We've got LinkedIn. Listen to the bonus episode. They're doing some cool stuff. And we've got all these new platforms doing this great stuff. Let's really help people spend money on Google Ads. Let's help our partners. Let's empower them. And instead, they're just saying, what is the least amount of effort that we can put forth mm-hmm. that will cause the most people to fall in line and do what we say? Right. And it's criminal.
It really is. And you know, we all know that Google's revenue is under pressure. You know, growth in clicks and CPC are stalling, right? So
it's not at the rates it was before. No. And I'm assuming with COVID, it's for sure not.
Right. So yeah, you're absolutely right. It does seem like what's the minimal effect that could yield the largest revenue? It would be adopting these optimization principles that go directly towards creating new revenue out of that existing engagement. So they're not leveraging the relationships with the partners because that would take a heck of a lot of time. They're circumventing everything. And you're absolutely right to have that type of reactionary position. And certainly social jumped in and you know, there's the PPC chat that there's so much going on, just reeling up in the sheer context because no ad platform has done this before. This overt challenge to your relationship with your client, right?
Exactly. And that is, to me, the most heinous part of all this
right.
is that Google thinks it's okay to dictate the agency that's a steward to make those changes. And it's not like there's been this building of goodwill like we saw in 2007, I guess, to like, you know, 2010 or 11,
right.
you know, they've been taking away, I mean, customer support with Google is unusable. It's unusable. You know, we had something matched the other day, a term for production, a specific lean manufacturing production.
Yep.
And they matched it to something like manufacturing or productivity.
Productivity. Apps. Right.
It's like production isn't productivity. And you see, and then trying to communicate this to a support rep, they have, for the most part, outsourced a lot of that. So it's not in-house. And then, you know, the other sign, Aaron, that you brought up is they have had these sales companies that are outsourced third-party sales companies reaching out to clients
right.
specifically.
Right.
And the worst part about it is they'll say that I am Greg from Google, even though they're from a third party company. And it's terrible. And these people don't really even know the product. And it's, you know, it's like, hey, I see that you're not doing target impression share or mm-hmm. you haven't done smart campaigns. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden the client has to come to us, the Google partner who is clearly on the account and has to explain that if you do that, you're not going to see any results. And then we have to go contact the third party, you know, faux Googler. And it just becomes a lot, you know,
a mess.
And so then, you know, the compounding effect of these changes that have been happening that really just the lack of support, the undermining of agencies, and then coming on there and saying, if you want to do this and we want to be recognized as a partner, well, then you have to hit the 70% number and who's making up their percentages. It's Google. It's just too much. And it's so much so that, I mean, again, hopefully you can see or hear how fired up I am about this. But we decided, we're like, well, what can we do?
Right.
You know, and honestly, as an agency, it's easy to feel helpless. There's nothing that really can be done here. You know, you could use different networks, mm-hmm. but I mean, you can't just avoid the biggest search engine out there. And
absolutely
so,
not, no.
And so we're like, we're going to go down swinging at least, right? We're going to try. So we made something called client.partners, and we're like, you know, you've got this Google Partners program
mm-hmm.
out there that we are having an issue with. And I said, there is absolutely no way over my dead body that I'm going to put a client into a recommendation that I don't agree with. We'll never do that. Never. And so we said, well, we're probably going to lose our badge and we'll make a new badge, a better badge. And you can just put it out there proudly if you want and say, you're not a Google partner, you're a client partner.
So what you got into, and boy, you can't kind of get the inkling that Greg's got a podcast, right? You beat me to every one of the questions I was going to lay out there. So you got client.partners, and it is literally an ethics pledge to the world and to other agencies, especially to their clients. Anybody who's actually doing that is a pledge that you are putting them first above all other requirements. Anything that comes down the channel, you're on the side of the client. And it's a bold statement, especially as things were so turbulent back in March when everybody had their hair lit on fire because of this issue, right? I do certainly appreciate that response, because that was not only a reaction that brought everybody's awareness to it, but also it was the correct thing to do, because this should be a community effort of advertisers and agencies working on behalf of clients and proclaiming that, as opposed to using the badge that a platform gives you just because you can spend money with it, right?
Yeah. I mean, I've tried everything. I put on Search Engine Journal a picture of a dumpster, like a dumpster talking about the Google Partners program. But, you know, our thought was, you know, there are still going to be a lot of different sales folks that you're going to go up to against sure. if you're an agency. And sure. let's say that you care about your clients and you're not going to put them into these heinous recommendations like target impression share when it doesn't matter. You're mm-hmm. not going to put pricing on the products that you're cremating animals on, and you're not going to raise budgets, and you're not going to have a Google Partners tag. So our thought was, like, let's just have something that can initiate conversation.
Good.
With somebody that you're trying to sell or bring on board or help out. Because it's easy for somebody to come on, a competing salesperson. And Aaron, like you said, there's some clout. It's got mm-hmm. the name Google there. And you're saying, I'm a Google partner. Well, our thought was, how can we empower people just to have a conversation?
Right.
Just a conversation. And there's a lot of different paid search industries out there. Quite frankly, nobody's talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fine and dandy, apparently. But we didn't want to make anything that was like an actual thing, like you had to go and sign up and do this. Our thought was, the easiest thing to do is just take a pledge and say, I will not put recommendations on
mm-hmm.
in order to help the platform increase budgets or do this. I will not do this because a platform told me to.
Right.
I'm doing this because I am serving you. And so it's just a pledge. That's it. You put in a website, you can say, yes, I do this, and we'll give you a badge. People can click on the badge and you'll see that you're verified. And the whole part was, again, nobody's ever been emailed. I would like to email people. I don't even want to email them because I didn't say I would, but about how we could do more and how we could fight this. And then, you know, once COVID hit, thankfully, Google pushed this back to 2021.
Right.
So this isn't coming yet. And I know that, you know, obviously we've had a lot going on with lockdowns here in New York State. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, now is not the time, but we need to push this hard again. And I think, again, just any way to empower people and let people know and educate them. I think you could take what is a sour situation and turn it into a positive.
I think so. And I wanted to get you on because this was going to be the month in which this partner program was going to be changing. So it was quite apropos to have you on the show. We have a year from now till then. It's going to be June of 2021, right?
I believe it's 2021. I don't know if it was announced the actual date.
Okay. But I thought it was going to be a year, but potentially a year from June, but it could very well be starting in the beginning of the year. Point being is that we have an opportunity that is a rarity inside of advertising to actually offer up an ethics challenge to marketers. And you have on the website itself a directory of sorts for these different agencies that make this pledge?
So we don't at the moment, but you can link on over and you can just see that it is that. That's something we probably should do. But again, I didn't even want to make it like, oh, you get a link or anything like that.
Right.
You know, I just, we spun it up, I think within the same week that this announcement came out.
Yep.
You know, we're like designing a badge, designing a logo, figuring out how to authenticate whether somebody just said, yes, I'm not going to spend, do what Google tells me to do for my clients. So we really kind of did it just fast, quick and dirty. But it's again, it's a way hopefully to increase communication.
Absolutely.
That's a great idea.
I think you came across something and I think you've opened the door up to this level of digital marketing. Doesn't have that many collegiate certifications. We don't have so many different areas that can actually, we can all level each other up together, right? So I think you've stumbled upon something here that could actually grow into a badge of honor in all disciplines, SEO, SEM, social media, and really have an environment that is no longer platform sponsored. But it is actually a group of quality advertisers that hold each other accountable. You know, there's something there. There really is something there. And I would certainly implore you to kind of look further into this and bring together a number of ethical partners, ethical marketers that you're friends with, that your colleagues with. And hey, we could all start investing some time to create something that is a good place where we use white tactics. There's no gray areas, and we're always working on behalf of the client. I think it would be a really good network of professionals around the world.
Yeah, I think you're onto something. And not only could it help to let a potential client know, but I think also it can help to really dispel some of the negativity and just some of the, you know, the thought around me like SEO in particular.
Right.
So, I mean, I think there's definitely a need for that. I know that there's SEMPO and there's the Paid Search Association and a few others out there that have taken a step, but you know, again, I don't know if you want somebody as fired up like me leading that, but we've talked about that before, is like, how can we try to hold some things accountable? And, you know, I think making sure that we hold, what can we do now is how do we hold these platforms? How do we hold them accountable and call them out when there's a problem? And a lot of people simply won't do that. You know, and that's another problem that we have, is that it's hard to call out when you're a premier partner that has your own dedicated rep and you're doing really well. People don't speak out against that, you know,
and no, again,
that, I mean, that's the decision they've made. It's not one I will make, but it's tricky. It's really tricky.
Well, I mean, the hammer hasn't fallen yet. So all this is it's not conjecture. Obviously, it's been broadcast, but at the same time, it doesn't have the thorns yet of actually being deployed. So this conversation is about to have another turn here whenever 2021 comes around, this badge program changes, and now you're going to have a number of people that are in agencies going, no, I don't want to do this. I can't do this to my client because of whatever the reasonings are. So you're going to have another massive fallout. It's just been, fortunately or unfortunately, it's been postponed enough maybe to give us a little bit more time to talk and plan. You almost consider it the BBB of advertisers that you really need to have an ethical charge and a grade, you know, that you can uphold as agencies. So it hasn't happened yet, but it will. And you certainly have been answering a heck of a lot of questions and churning up awareness here. I did want to pivot over to a couple key things of other interest that we are looking at from a Google standpoint. And whenever we connected last week, you talked about something regarding some lax matching in the ads when it comes down to match types. And if you could you unpack some of that as well? Because this is something else that is kind of dropping my jaw on what's happening. Exact match, it really no longer is a thing. I mean, you wrote on your blog just recently, there's no longer an actual exact terms matching. Instead, there's plurals, misspellings, and other different close variants. Well, it's gotten proceedingly worse over time, or I should say inferred by Google of what you're trying to match your keywords towards from a customer intent standpoint. And that you referenced it earlier in the show here. Now we're having some really loose variants, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And if you're not deep into the PPC world, you might look at some type of matching that you choose and say, well, I'm going to choose one that says exact. And I'm guessing that Google is going to match it exactly with the, you know, the query that somebody puts in.
Right.
Well, back in 2014, that stopped. So they're allowed what's called close variants. So it would be plurals, misspellings, and other really, really close matching would occur. So that was kind of what we had called, and I wrote it at the time at Search Engine Land, that it was a death of exact match.
Right.
And then it was further diluted. So back in 2017, Google said, well, they're like function terms. And if you think that the term is just part of the function of the query, we're going to allow you to do that. You know, like I'm looking for a watch instead of men's watch, for a man or something, you know, the function terms, they'll put that in there, which again is helpful. And then in 2018, Google came out and said that they're going to take the matching and make it either implied words, paraphrasing, or intent matching.
Right.
And again, this is all for exact match. And then that was kind of spread out to phrase match and broad match modified in 2019. So when you put in a term like that's very specific, you might think it's going to be matching for that exactly,
right,
but it is definitely not. And I don't like it that, but that's sort of the reality. In saying that I don't like it, there are ways that that could be very helpful for people. If you have a very small number of products, if you don't have a huge ad budget, if people don't know the exact terms that they're going to be searching for, and you're trying to get it up fast, great. I still take offense to the name that's exact matching because it's misleading, right? That should be called smart match or something match, intelligent match, whatever you want
intent
to call it.
Intent match, whatever it is. Yeah, so for our listeners who are not familiar with this bidding type, exact match used to be that, the exact string of characters, and your ad would not show up if it did not have that exact string of characters in. That was the finest needle of control that PPC advertisers had on their campaign, is that they, and this is where it could get so articulated and so diverse and, what I want to say, just zeroed in, laser focused on the type of intent that you're looking for from your audience, right? So what we're talking about over the course of the last 5 years now, 6 years now, that control we had has now been pulled away from us. So exact is no longer exact. It has there's no reference to what we used to be able to control. Now Google's taking intent in an inference and really putting you places that it thinks it wants, it thinks you should be in front of from a consumer audience, right?
Exactly. And the other
There was a pun there.
The other underlying issue, I was getting fired up again. I'm sorry, I missed it. Is each one of these changes help Google match to a broader terms, right? And you rarely see a change where it will have people spend less money. And it may be a coincidence, but typically you see it widen and widen and widen and expand.
Right.
So that's been the issue. And then recently we've been running into problems specifically with clients where not only are we matching from a close variant base where things are, you know, we're matching term A, term B, term C that we've got, but Google is then dropping some of these. So we might be looking for something, let's say it's, you know, online podcast software. We've seen Google dropping software and system and solution and tools, things that are pertinent towards who we're looking to bring to the site and how we're spending our advertisers' money. And we're seeing these being completely dropped and completely neglected, just gone and showing up for terms that don't have that very critical modifier towards what and who we're looking for.
Now, one could say that the release of or the removal of Exact into much more of intent oriented is not only looking for a wider audience, but it also is you're going to be able to spend more in that wider space, right?
Yeah, and I mean, yes, you're going to be able to, especially with the rise of mobile that had happened,
right,
having the ability to catch these misspellings and catch people that Google thinks that intent is there, that's needed, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. But getting all the way up to today and then saying, well, a term like software, and I'm not talking about any kind of like smart bidding either. I'm talking about just CPC, right, enhanced CPC bidding, that we're going to take this, you're saying you're authorized, I can spend on podcasting software, and I'm dropping the software. That's just not acceptable.
Mm-mm. No, it's not. Again, more and more control out of the AI side of things, the machine learning side of things, that is oriented to move us towards an audience that Google thinks we're trying to reach. And in some ways, it's very useful for, I don't want to say the lazy advertiser, but maybe the marketer that's inside of who is themselves the client, and they don't have that much experience or that much time. It does bridge the gap where they didn't have a very robust or articulated campaign out, and it helps get that, you know, bootstraps the audience, so to speak. It bridges that connection. But for a well-hewn and well-articulated campaign, it's the antithesis of what you're trying to do, because you have your strategy, you have your plan, you have your key terms that you're trying to actually market towards for them to be able to remove or add, right, without explicit authorization from you, the advertiser, right? That's again, that's an overreach right there.
Right. And you nailed it when you said that lazy marketer that's doing that, Aaron. And right. And I'm going to nominate you to set up that ethics committee to have those vetted folks where somebody can be kind of, you know, overseeing what's happening. But yeah, I mean, it's a problem. And especially with the level of support that Google is offering,
right.
I mean, it will take you hours to try to get any kind of resolution by calling somebody, mm-hmm, having to speak to their manager. If you are listening to this podcast, you likely know more than a Google rep that's going to pick up a phone.
Oh,
and that's
man,
a fact.
That is.
That's a fact. I've been on the phone with people when pay for conversions went awry because it wasn't working in the AdWords editor.
Mm-hmm.
They not only didn't know what pay for conversions was, they weren't aware of a company called Alphabet. I mean, it's a problem. It is and I can't make that up. It's a problem. And it's just like all these little things that keep going. Is it going to be worth it to take a team member and tell them to burn 2 hours of their day to get back $800 for a client?
Right.
Yes. Yes, it is. But they're banking, and I'm imagining either this is a bug, mm-hmm, which I don't know how, but it could be a bug. Let's just say it could be a bug. Or this is intentional. And I really hope that it's not. But all these different things layered on top of each other make it very, very hard. And just, it's hard to trust Google Ads right now. And it's hard to be confident. And like I said, I love Google Ads. It is the best software. If they let you work the way you want, you can do anything. Mm. And you just look at this and you see it as such a short-term play that I'm going to take the money now, mm-hmm, and I'm going to hit these quarterly things. Whoever's running Google Ads is going to make their bonus. And then what is going to happen in 2025 when LinkedIn is here, right, when LinkedIn has everything dialed in and you can do whatever. So that's just why I love Google Ads. I want nothing more than Google Ads to be successful and help me do better for my clients. It's just somebody there is doesn't see it that way. And thankfully that the head of ads is now over to head of search. So all you SEOs can deal with that.
Oh, nice. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. See how we passed the buck there?
Yep. Not my problem.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, that's another rabbit hole to go down, obviously. You did mention in a recent podcast, and you went through like a top 10 list of things to be aware of. One of the things inside of ads that we also want to make our listeners aware of is the paying per conversion. It's not so much a debacle. I mean, there was a bug in the system, but there's a lot to pay attention to whenever a pay per conversion campaign rolls out. You could actually lose a heck of a lot of money if you're not paying attention correctly to what you're spending. Yeah.
Yeah. And in case anybody doesn't know what pay for conversion is, yep. It's on the display platform.
Right.
And you have to have a certain number of conversions and they have to happen within a certain time frame. But if you qualify, you can only pay when that conversion happens. Now,
it sounds fantastic, doesn't it?
Sounds great. And we have one client where it cleans up with pay for conversion. But what they don't tell you is, you know, like you can spend up to 2 times your daily budget, you know, to hit that 30.4, it's a whole thing. But what you can spend in one day with a pay for conversion account is whatever your daily budget is times 30.4. So if you have a daily budget of, let's say it's $100, yep. You can spend what's my math doing? 100 times 30.4.
That's so, $3,000.
$3,000 in one day, right. When you have a daily budget of just $100. And that is fine. That's legal. That is within the term. So mm-hmm. That's not even a bug. Because, and then the problem is when you set up a pay for conversion campaign, if you've got a strange conversion, like let's say it's time on site, mm-hmm. You know, so if somebody visits time on site or had 2 different page views,
right.
That could just go instant. And then all of a sudden you're out that $3,400.
Very quickly.
$3,040.
Stop with the math. All right. Now listen, that's the thing is that you have to have your conversions dialed in and completely on the stick, because if there's anything that you had as an intent signal, that could actually cross over as a conversion. So you got to clean up your GA if you're importing things in, if you're creating all your different events on through the conversion tool set. You got to streamline this thing down to what's really important, because what GA would give us in behavior tooling to be able to see and trap events, if it's inside conversions, inside the ad platform, you could be paying money just because somebody put eyeballs on a page. So we highly recommend you don't utilize this unless you know what you're doing. And it could very well be an incredibly successful campaign, but you're literally giving Google the ability to spend 30.4% more. It's not 30%.
You can spend what your daily budget is.
Right.
Yep, 30 times.
Yikes. Yeah. All right.
Let's do some more math. This is fun.
We're kind of careening out of control. And we're the PVC people, huh? All right. One last thing I wanted to come across and talk about briefly is your podcasting partnership with SEJ. And jumping in and board, tell us how that went, where that came from, and how's it going right now?
Yeah. So I've known Brent and Lauren and Janice for a while. Mm-hmm. They are great folks. And I, you know, came on board over at Search Engine Land when Danny was there. He had left and Matt had left and Michelle had left and, you know, just kind of had this idea. One of our social people at the time said, we need more content to put out there. And so we started shooting videos and we'd edit these videos and we make them really extravagant. And then we're like looking at it and it's just taking up too much time. So we're like, let's go just full on Bill O'Reilly and do it live and just shoot live video. And so then that just got too much. I don't know. So we just started running through some news, but it's mainly just fun.
Right.
You know, we have a good time and we learn to talk about each other's lives and, you know, what's happening at my house and what's happening with Shep and Jess. And we just reached out to him and said, hey, you know, would you want to do this? And we can represent your name well and bring people news but really some laughs. Mm-hmm. And that's why people listen to us.
Cool. So you joined up with the brand around February, right?
Yep. Yep, it was, yeah, February, or I think it might have started in September, but okay. We've been doing it for a while now, and, you know, if you want to catch it out, we're on their YouTube over at Search Engine Journal, but yeah, we're on there, and we have a post up, but they're the salt of the world, and they're really picking up a lot of their reporting with like you said, your friend Susan Winograd.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got it locked down.
They got a lot of good contributors over there, and we certainly recommend our listeners go jump over there and listen to Greg's podcast. It is fun and it's certainly insightful. I mean, your last podcast, you went some deep diving into specifics of PPC that, you know, it's fantastic to hear someone confident in that advanced PPC as opposed to putting on airs, what have you. I mean, this is you live and breathe this stuff, and it certainly does show whenever you're talking with that level of proficiency. So kudos for you. We certainly recommend our listeners go on and check that out. Okay.
Right. Yeah. And if you love bad math, this is a show.
This is
the
show.
Marketing O'Clock.
All right. All right. Hey, Greg, it's been a pleasure talking to you today. It really has. And I mean, we talked about the Google ups and downs, and we have been talking more downs than ups here for Google. I mean, we certainly do recommend the AdWords platform. It is an incredible tool set to be able to connect your clients to their customers. So at the end of the day here, yeah, have they made some PR incorrect steps? Absolutely. But you know, we are fully confident that they're gonna figure out the game. They're gonna figure out what their role in the community is. And they just can't be led by loss of revenue. Although, I mean, it's very easy to say that sitting in this chair, right? So we can make these type of these assertions, but at the end of the day, these are very good tools to deliver on behalf of your clients. So with that, let me ask you, what bugs you about your industry today?
Not a lot does, to be honest. I think the one thing that does bug me is when there is something that's a clear problem and people don't speak up about it. Yeah. You know, like this Google thing, it should be 100% of people on the board saying, what?
Yeah.
The platform is telling me I have to do this? Or, you know, like, so I think it's something where, you know, speaking up when you see an issue and not just having that kind of hive mind, let's just not rock the boat. I mean, I'm on the boat. I'm rocking. I got the gunwales. I'm going up and down.
Yeah. All right. So conversely, what do you enjoy? What do you like about your industry that you're in right now?
I love in general just the people in the community. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that there's some bad apples everywhere, but for the most part, there's so much knowledge that's shared. And even on Twitter, like a lot of people are afraid of making the jump and hopping on Twitter. People are just overall nice and will work to help you, and you can learn so much. And there are shows like this show here where it's every week you can just get information. I mean, it's there's so much giving in the community.
That's going to be the teaser for the show, by the way. Not the nomination on the ethics board of digital advertising.
I can't wait to see what you do with it, Aaron.
No. That could never happen. That would be tough, especially in digital advertising. Dude, we certainly appreciate what you do in the community, and you keep up the good work as well, and lift up other individuals as you usually do, because that network needs to be there. The good advertisers need to be shout out, and they need to be hoisted up. You know, any final thoughts for maybe the aspiring digital advertiser, or maybe the PPC advertiser in ads that's trying to level up their skill? What words of wisdom would you give them?
Yeah, I mean, what I would tell you is, you know, some of the best people that I've ever met at their job are really curious and curious as to how things work, you know, why things are matching. What is this landing page having an effect on? You know, if you've got a client, think of it as it's your dollars going out there, and how can you spend your dollars more? What can you test? How can you push yourself? And I think it's just a healthy curiosity goes such a long way here. And then lastly, don't hesitate to reach out. I'm at Greg Finn on Twitter. I will talk to you. I like ask away. I'm sure anybody will as well. Like participate, don't be afraid, and be curious.
Very good. Very good. So lastly, I got to ask you, how many knives have you created?
Probably about 10. Now, how many good knives have I made? Probably about two. About two.
So part of our pre-show interaction is we ask our guests what they, some fun things that they've actually done in the past. So Greg, a few years ago, actually started watching Forged in Fire, which is an awesome show. Awesome show.
Thank you.
And he wanted to learn how to be a blacksmith. So you now make knives out of chunks of metal and chunks of wood. We actually have a smithy down in our neck of the wood on the south side of Indianapolis. And there's an entire knife creation guild down there. And it's just amazing seeing these guys work. So you're amongst good stead there. What are some lessons learned from blacksmithing and knife creation that you've used in PPC? There's your analogy. Go.
Oh, man. I'd say planning. You know, if you're just sitting there smashing high carbon steel and you don't have a plan to what you're doing, it's going to be a problem. And, you know, if we're talking about PPC, how do you line things up in the right way? How do you set yourself up for success? There are so many ways you can set yourself up from the get-go to fail. And that's what you're always looking for is what's next? How do I plan for this? Where am I going?
Very good. All righty. This guy does a podcast. You can tell.
All right. Not a very good one.
Well, we're going to certainly recommend Marketing O'Clock. You got a lot of silly stories on there, but you actually are doing some great stuff and you got some good content going into the industry. So kudos there. Anything else that we can promote for you today?
Nope. Nothing at all. Just thanks for having me. Been a blast.
Absolutely. Well, we certainly enjoyed you. Want to make sure that you check out the bonus podcast. We cover the news of the week. Not all of it. There's so much bloody news on a regular basis in digital marketing. We cover that. So check that out. It was a really good, shorter podcast, as we always do with the news pieces. And we'll also link all that up in the show notes as well. Want to track down Greg at Greg Finn on Twitter and Greg Finn on LinkedIn. We certainly appreciate your time. And hey, you're doing a bang up job and keep the fires burning. It's okay to be pissed, Greg.
All right. I'm raging over here. So those fires aren't going out anytime soon.
Very good. All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
All right. You're more than welcome. Do not forget to like and subscribe to Edge of the Web on YouTube. And if you're feeling up to it, and we certainly would appreciate you doing it, jump on over to iTunes and give us a review if you would. We want to know how we're doing and let us know if you'd like to hear more of a particular topic. Check out all the must-see videos and much more over at edgeofthewebradio.com. That's edgeofthewebradio.com. Next week, we will be talking to the Martin Splint. It's going to be fantastic. Martin Splint is the webmaster or web developers outreach of a liaison for Google. And we have the pleasure of being able to talk deep advanced SEO. So I got to get my JSON and JavaScript game up before I talk to this guy. So I'll be cramming for the episode. For all of us over Edge, do not be a piece of cyber driftwood. Stay safe and stay well. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.